Rav Nachman later, they're later minyanim, because he's busy with the children. But I told him I don't like to go out at night. It's easier for me to daven and relax. No, you've done your share. Okay, today is Sunday, January 6, 2019. How many people are writing checks and still writing 2018? Sherry, in the announcement of this week's Shurim, if you'll notice, I corrected it by pen from 2018 to 2019. Kanayin Hara. I want to make a small correction. Nachum Lam again knows more than I do about people, certainly Seth Mandel. I quoted Seth Mandel in relation to the Rav, and that no one knows the Rav better than Seth Mandel. He spoke about the light tables, that we have a light table, the heavens. So I thought Seth Mandel grew up in Boston. That's when he knew the Rav. No, he grew up in Kew Gardens Hills. But he got his doctorate from Harvard in Near Eastern Languages. And when he was in Harvard, he became very close with the Rav. So he knows the Rav. I'm correct on that. But it's not from childhood. It's from a later period in life. Herbie asked a question about the name Mandel. Are his children alive and well? Nachum understood what Herbie was asking. I didn't. He was confusing this Mandel with the Mandel. There was a Mandel here in Israel, Oleinu, who was killed. He and his friend were hiking near Gush Etzion, in Gush Etzion, near Alon Shvut, in that area. And years ago they were killed, and their parents, there's the, I think it's what, the Kobe Mandel Foundation. They have, every year they do something in his memory, raise money to help others, but Zelichud the Zelichud. He also tells me I'm mispronouncing Rabbi Seth Mandel's name. He pronounces his name Mandel, as in Yiddish. All right, so I'm Zayin Gesund. Now, if you recall, this is more fascinating. He writes to me, if you recall, and I'll recapitulate what the few words we said last week, because today is a very major shiur with a lot of halachic implications. But the whole question of why you can't go onto a ship and what's wrong. So one of the reasons given is that the ship resembles swimming. So then we have to deal with the question, what's wrong with swimming? We may be dealing with it tomorrow or next Monday in the other class in a totally different context. But what's wrong with swimming on Shabbos? All right, so right away, nowadays we'll answer immediately a gut reaction, wringing out a towel. Could be using hot water in Shabbos, because then you'll start to heat hot water. So you say, whatever, we can. But the whole question of swimming leads us to that whole Gemara that the Gemara, it's a Mishnah in Beitzah, that you can't swim, you can't dance, you can't clap hands, etc., etc. And we raised a very simple question that everyone dances on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So Nachum Lam writes, when I was briefly at Camp Torah Vadas, I remember some of the more yeshivish guys grumbling about dancing at Kabbalat Shabbat. You follow? So I'm not the only one to raise the issue. But like you said, Chassidim run, went out. So alright, there's something to be said, Chassidim run out. The truth is today, everyone dances, and the halachic justification is Tosfot.
Not everyone. Moshe Avrik would register a complaint.
Moshe Avrik doesn't dance?
No, it's not.
No, okay, so Moshe Avrik, so almost everyone dances. But I asked the mashgiach, I told you what his answer was. We getanzt in Slabodka und der Levishmadachai und der Altabon Nishpamekt. We danced in Slabodka, and the Rosh Yeshiv and the mashgiach, the famous Rav Natzon Zvi Finkel, no one corrected us. And it's based upon a Tosfos. The Rama already discusses this. It's based upon a Tosfos that the whole Issa was because Shem Yitake musical instruments. Today we dance without musical instruments, so it's Mutta. All right, it's an interesting comment that in Camp Torah Vadas, because I never saw anyone complain. I asked the question because I was learning my Sechet Beitza. But to me, if the Mashkiach is dancing, if Reb David Lifshitz is dancing, you follow me, Benjamin? I have no questions. Torah is a living... I've given many shirim on what Torah Shabbat prayer is all about. I can't repeat them now, but all I can tell you is some people over the years told me those were the greatest shirim they ever heard that I gave on what Torah Shabbat prayer, the living Torah Shabbat prayer. But interesting. Something else came up this week, and here I just want to make clear, I got an email from Rabbi Grinstein, and others asked me about it. It seems that people from the more yeshivish world will use that comment. So they were working on issuing a edited edition of Medrash. And if you're familiar with Medrash, there was a professor, Shlomo Buba, who did a lot of work in Medrash. In other words, the Tanchuma, I'll tell you a story in a second, has brought back a memory for me. But they asked, are you allowed to use it? So it seems they went to Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky today in the Litvisha world is the, I don't want to say the word posek achron, but is the final authority on everything. So he said, certainly you can use it. The Chofetz Chaim quotes it. So people sat down and went through all the Mishnah Brura and all the other works of the Chofetz Chaim, and they couldn't find where he quotes it. So they went back to Rav Kanievsky and said, excuse us, but where is the Chofetz Chaim quoted? And he showed them in one of his commentaries, he quotes the Tanchuma and he refers to the Mahadir, the person who put out Mahadir is a modern Hebrew word, Mahadura. In other words, if you edit that Dov gets a doctorate from Bernard Revel, you edited the Medrash Rabbah and Shmot, let's say. So you're called the Mahadir. That's so he quotes the Mahadir, doesn't call him by name, he quotes the Mahadir, but it shows you he's quoting Reb Shlomo Buba. And they're all excited. I mean, look at the knowledge that Reb Chaim Kanievsky has that he picks up from a Mahadir Buba. Fine. But I have to tell you, the world here, the whole question doesn't get off the floor. Gentlemen, you have to differentiate between father and son. You can have a father at Tzaddik and his son goes off the path. Everyone hears the name Buba. Binyamin, what do you think of? Fine messers. How does your fine messer respond? Martin Buber, professor, Hebrew U, the philosopher, the German, totally irreligious, although very involved. The Rav used to quote, Buber's philosophy. Buber, Taka, went off the path. But his father, Shlomo Buber, was a shtickel, yet retained Hasidus, and certainly was a Shomer Mitzvah 100%. He was a Hasidic Jew who wound up came from Chassidim, but he wound up in Germany, and he got involved in Chochmat Yisrael. And Ein Hachinami, his editions of the Midrashim, particularly the Tanchuma, are outstanding. And this takes me, it reminded me of a story, Maskinish Chachat. The story has to go back to, I would believe, 1971. Why do I say 71, 72? Because this story took place in the original Michala, where I started teaching in Rehov, I think it was Labriot Torah Vavoda, in Bayit Vagan. It's before the beautiful campus. And in that building, in the basement, there was a library. And I remember like yesterday, this girl is standing outside the library and crying. And in my Olech Hadash Hebrew, I ask her, Mat Bocha, what are you crying? And she tells me she's looking for a source that was quoted and she knows it's there, Tanchuma, and she can't find it. And because I had gone to graduate school that day, I was able to save her life. You know what I mean by that? I said to her, which Tanchuma do you mean? The regular Tanchuma or the Buba Tanchuma? She said she looked in a regular Tanchuma. I said, ask the librarian to give you a Buba Tanchuma. That's what it's called. It's the Buba edition. Hu Hamadia. And she came and thanked me. She found it there. So that's what... And the mistake here is simply differentiate between father and son. There's Martin Buba, who I wouldn't exactly say was a tzaddik, and there's the father, who is 100% reliable. Okay, now let's pick up where we left off last week, and here again, if you understand, it's amazing how the Sunday Shia and the Monday Shia last week, how they sort of correlated. But at this moment in time, the right wing is becoming much more powerful in America. When I say right wing, again, I'm using popular language, because if I were to define myself, I think you all know Rabbi Bednash calls me the most Haredi member of the Grish faculty. So it's not that I'm talking down. I have many different influences, and Baruch Hashem, I'm not ashamed when I say the Rav was Haredi in Psak Halacha, 100%. The Rav was a Haredi, I'm a Talmud of the Rav. All right, others can be innovative, but I'm a Talmud of the Rav. But all right, be it as it may, I'm just using popular language, like they use the word Haredi today. It's a descriptive term, not a pejorative term. You follow me, Chaim? Because Chas v'Chalila, we should be like some other people and poke fun at other Jews. As long as a Jew is a Shema Torah mitzvah, I'm very happy. So at that time in America, there's no question that the split is being felt more and more. And now the Rabbinical Council of America comes out with a protest to the American government that why do you announce that all the applications should be on Shabbos who want to re-register for the Naval Reserves? From Jews can't register, can't apply, can't volunteer. So the head of the Rabbinic Alliance, the Yigud HaRabbanim, one of the founders, Rabbi Sam Turk, not Rabbi Simwa Turk. Again, I made clear last week the two different Turks, their first cousins, and both Torah Vadas graduates. And Dafka, the Torah Vadas one, has a doctorate from YU. But he remained with Yigud HaRabbanim. He was one of the founders. And he's upset with RCA, and he wants to know, can you volunteer to get involved in the army, the navy, whatever, and it's much more than the naval reserves, or to be a chaplain, where you're going to wind up being Mechallel Shabbos, etc. And this is the question he sends to Rav Menashe Klein. And Rav Menashe Klein handles it, and I believe he understands the implications, and we'll see, he's very clear and forthright. But what are the makarot here? So the main makar, the only makar basically, is Shabbat Taf Yutet, Ein Mafligin B'Sfina, 3 days before Shabbat, no, before that, yes. And the Makar, will come to this later today, very interestingly, talks about warfare. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Sadin Alayarod Shal Nachram, again, the same concept, 3 days before, yeah, and no, three days earlier, yes. Rebbeinu Shalom, what's the Gemara talking about? Tzva Haganali Yisrael? At the time of the Gemara, we had an army? I don't know. To the best of my recollection, there was no army at the time of the Gemara. But all right, the halach is eternal. So they're putting down the concept with the army as well. And we'll come back to that. Herbie, we answered your question. You have to hear the first part of the shiur. You asked me something last week and I didn't chop it.
Yitzhak is hurting. What's his leg. That's why he didn't come.
What's the matter with his leg? God, it's gentlemen, I want you all to be younger, because I have I called Michael Miller this morning. We hope was successful.
You're the guy that...
Right. That's right. Listen, hey, we're only B'nayish, and all right, we're looking forward to seeing Vic Snow's return. And at least we have Ephraim here, so one
Ephraim
younger man, at least one younger man was able to walk in confidence. Okay, so Baruch Hashem. Herbie, don't talk too loud. The Rebbeinu Shlomo shouldn't
listen,
hear.
What is the question I asked?
You'll hear on the tape. I don't want to repeat myself now. Leave it. You'll hear.
Okay.
Okay, back here. So this Gemara. What's the matter? What's the problem going on a ship? So we dealt with some very simple answers. Number one, it may resemble swimming, what we spoke about a minute ago. Number two, the whole question of tchumim, that you're going to go chutz l'tchum. particularly if the ship is deep in the water. If you're above 10 tefachim, there's no problem with trum because it's a makam tua. I can tell you halacha lemaisa. There was the whole shaila when you with our people in Russia, and when you left the hotel room on Shabbos, you had to have with you your passport, your money, your addresses. Nothing could be left in the hotel room because the KGB would help themselves. So now the question is how to carry it. And that's not a simple question, because if there ever was a Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita, it's the Kremlin. Because there is a big wall, but it's only on one side. If there'd be walls on to three sides, it would be a little bit easier. But there's one. There's room there for 2 million people. What's your problem, Shlomo?
There are walls on three sides.
Not as I recall. There was one tremendous wall, but you could.
The Kremlin wall. There's a store wall on the other side. There's a museum on the third side.
But that wall. I don't know if that wall has the. It's in the distance. The other wall.
But the money is
okay.
The problem.
But relax. No, the money is only muksa. But carrying in a rishut harabim is the oraita. So there was a machlokes apaiskim, what's better, to put it in your foot, which is lavud, within three tefachim, so it's nothing, or to wear it in your hat. And why in the hat? Because it's above ten tefachim, it's a makam haptua. You follow?
And it doesn't be a
sinoi
anyway, no?
I understand. We have other factors. But I la halacha, it was always easier to put it in your hat, because in your foot you couldn't walk properly. But in your hat, and if you recall, I once showed the kollel. If you want me to bring it again, I'll show it to you. I have to find it. I had a hat, and I inherited from my father. My father was a postman. In the cold weather, he had a Canadian, a Rocky Mountain Canadian hat. And in that hat, Malcolm made a patch, and I put everything into there. And that's the way I carried it. But all right, that's the whole shaila with the boat, with the tchum. Then there's a whole, the Rambam, and the Rif, you'll see, they come in, it's a din. You shouldn't be upset on Shabbos, you should enjoy Shabbos, you should be relaxed, you shouldn't be seasick. All right. All these explanations pale by comparison to the one that's attributed to the Baal Mar. The truth is, there are other Rishonim who say it too, but somehow when everyone quotes the Shita, they quote the Baal Mar. And he holds very simple, that it's a question of a Jew doing Malacha D'Oraita on Shabbos. Follow? You're going to put yourself in a position where you do Malacha D'Oraita on Shabbos. And now I pick up where I left off last week, the Baal Mar. And if you recall, I said to Jack, if I give you a sandwich to eat now, are you going to worry about Pesach? And Jack laughed at me. What's the big deal? Of course we're going to have bread. Of course we can eat chametz now. What does it have to do? Whoever thinks of it. There's no concept of chametz today. Chametz, as I've told you many times, you spend a fortune on matzah shmura, and after Pesach, it's just stale bread, you understand? It's like an etrog. You spend a fortune on an etrog. Tell me, Ephraim, remember in New York, you didn't grow up in New York, you grew up in Toronto, right? But in New York, I remember Jews used to go down to the east side, and people had a little bit money, and they'd look, and they'd spend $25 on an etrog. I mean, that's like telling you today, a guy spent $200 in Meir Shearim for a beautiful etrog. And then, the minute this...
What do you mean, dollars?
Because you pay the equivalent to our dollars in shekel. They're not going to take dollars from you today, because dollars are worthless. But although they're getting better, dollars are coming up a little. If Trump will level solve the problem with the wall, you'll see the dollar will shoot up.
You know, his major negotiator is Jared Kushner.
All right, Baruch Hashem, someone you saw grow up, you saw him as a kid.
Today, I knew his father, and I knew his grandfather, Yussel.
Okay, today he's the king of the world, but back here. Now with Shabbos, what are we taking? The same approach? Shabbos is coming? And I shouldn't give a hoot, I shouldn't care? What kind of concept is this? Shabbos is not Pesach. Pesach, don't you prepare for Pesach? Aren't you concerned? Don't you bake matzah? Don't you arrange to get wine? Don't you arrange to have romaine lettuce, to have mora? Shabbos, halacha, kama v'kama. You have to be prepared. You have to think in advance. Chas v'chalila, a Jew should bring himself to chilul Shabbos. Moshe, I haven't said a word yet.
With Pesach, actually,
30
days before you already...
Yeah, they never say that. That's dashanut, the halacha. But here there's...
No, but if you leave the country or something, yeah, you're not going to be back. You have to keep it in mind 30 days before.
You have to be both a chametz without a bracha, of course, of course. But Shabbos, what's going on? I have to tell you. And this will come up, la halacha, I'm going to show you, I've gone a little further in my own thinking, you'll see whether I'm right or wrong, we will throw it out and see what the word says. But there are basically Shainim who understand this whole machloket has nothing to do with Chilul Shabbos. That if there can be Chilul Shabbos, you're absolutely not allowed to go on the boat, be it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But they're giving other reasons. You're going on a boat. Tell me, how many of you sailed on the Queen Mary, the Queen Elizabeth? All right. So I sailed, I forget the name of the boat already. It was a boat from Portugal, a Portuguese. Anna Maria could be, it was a boat from Portugal. Who is Michal Shabbos? You're on the boat, you're a guest, everything is fine, everything is good. But these are all rabbinic reasons that even though everything is fine and good and wonderful, but it's like swimming. What about the tchum? You follow? What about seasickness? These are rabbinic considerations. But if it'll come l'day chilul Shabbos, you have to be concerned. Hayom yom rishon b'shav yom yom sheni b'shav yom sheni. We don't forget Shabbos at all. And last week you quoted the Gemara in Beitzah, and it's brought down that the Ramban has a hole in the Aseret HaDivrei, Zechat Yom Shav L'Kadsho, that when you're walking along and you see in the shuk, I have to say, I wish I could have unlimited sugar. When you get older, the doctors say, limit your sugar, limit your sugar. But you go into Machne Yehuda, the big candy store on Rehova Grippus, then their side, they have candy from all over the world. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, what you can buy, what you can get, It's all kosher. What they bring into Israel is with hashgacha, right? It's not all badats, but everything has a reliable hashgacha. Bishur harabanut harashit. There is no end. It is wonderful. So here, when you're on a boat, there's nothing to worry about. What chilul Shabbos? And if you're walking along and you see something good, you want to buy it, don't eat it on Wednesday, don't eat it on Tuesday, don't eat it on Thursday, don't eat it on Monday. Put it aside for Shabbos. You understand? And you can't forget about Shabbat at all. Right.
You have to eat every day.
Relax. The Balmor Shita has been understood as radically different than what I've just said. And what the Balmor is introducing is the whole concept with Havdalah. Everyone knows, if you don't make Havdalah Saturday night, you don't make Havdalah Sunday, you first got your wine on Tuesday, you can make Havdalah through Tuesday afternoon. It means that the first part of the week belongs to the last Shabbat. Tuesday night already, you can't make Havdalah. Why? Because Tuesday night, beginning meaning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, belong to the Shabbat that's coming. And that's why from Tuesday night on, you have to be concerned with Shabbat that's coming. You can't just look backwards. You have to look forwards. This is the way the Balmor is understood. And therefore, if there's a chance of Chilul Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're looking back. I was Shomer Shabbos. I had a beautiful Shabbos, a Chof Habrein. I had a wonderful Kiddush. I had company. I davened. I was in wonderful shuls, the Balei Tefillah. Fine. Next Shabbos? It's not my business now. Dayalat Tzara B'Shaita. But beginning with Wednesday, you have to make the cheshbonot. And chas v'chalila to go on to a boat which may lead to Chilul Shabbat. And this is the Ramah. And I have to tell you, the Ramah's opinion carries a lot of weight halachically. And if so, then according to the Gemara, if it's the Devar Rishut, can't go on a boat Tuesday night on. If it's the Devar Mitzvah, from Tuesday night on, you can go on to the boat. You don't have to be concerned with the fact that you may have to be Mechalel Shabbos to save yourself. The boat's in trouble. Everyone has to take an oar. Everyone has to help. They need hands to throw wood into the fire. Something happened. The other people are not there. Someone is sick. Someone died. You would have to pitch in and help. If you don't help, Pikuach Nefesh, you'll die. Chilul Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh is Toicha, Chilul Shabbos. It's not one of the three cardinal sins. What is Rishut? Here too you're going to see. Rishut can be a very, very wide concept. I heard a guy named Rakefet make a cheshbon last week that the Yankees are playing the Red Sox in London, two games. All right, we're living in Israel. Get onto a plane. How far is London from here? 3 hours, 3.5 hours, the airport, London, Heathrow, the hotel. Wow, unbelievable. Tell me, would you be allowed to go on a boat to go to the game in London? Is this Rishut, or is this, shall we say, a Devar Mitzvah? And I reached the conclusion, I can make a case, it's absolutely a Devar Mitzvah. Here is a man over 80 years of age. He is a little bit on in years. He walks a little slower. Oh, you go, you sit, you see the Yankees play the Red Sox. You're a kid again. You come back refreshed. And Dove walked away quixotic. Did the Rebbe really mean it? I got news for you, Dove. I'm going to show you I'm not off base. The Ramah understood me very well. Okay, now, I want to quote the Halacha. I just want to quote Halacha now, and then we'll come back to the Tshuva. And here's the Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Chet. I'm quoting Sifalev, Mutala Aplik Besfina, Afila Bi'erev Shabbat, Im Holech Lidva Mitzvah. Uposeki Moshe Yishbosh, V'yim Achakach Lo Yishbosh, Ein Bekach Klum. And if it's a Devar Mitzvah, even on Friday, all right, there's a little bit of what we call legal fiction here. You want to show you're concerned with Shabbos? After all, you can't just say Shabbat comes in 4 o'clock Friday and until that point I don't have to give the consideration, I don't have to get involved with Shabbos. Chas v'chalila. So you say to the guy who's running the ship, remember, I have to be Shomer Shabbos, I can't do anything. And even though you know the guy is not going to honor that, if he needs you on Shabbos, he's going to tell you, get the heck to work, or you're going to die, you'll have to be Mechalel Shabbos. But at least with the legal fiction, you show your concern for Shabbos.
Is it legal fiction?
It's to a certain degree similar. Avol l'dvar reshut, ein mafligin besvina pachat mishlosha yamim kodem Shabbat. But for d'var reshut, you can't travel on the 3 days before Shabbat, only early in the week, because there's no need to get involved with Isurim and prohibitions once Tuesday night begins. Finally. Hadei mafligin besfina pachat mishloshim kavim Shabbat hatam mishum onik Shabbat. And here in Halacha Bet, he says clearly that the reason you can't travel right before Shabbat has to do, he paskins here like the Rambam, it's a question of seasickness. Shekol shloshi yamin yesh lechem tsa v'bilbo. That 3 days before, you're not acclimated, you're not adjusted, you're throwing up, you're seasick, the boat is shaking. It's not a Queen Elizabeth, it's not a Queen Mary, it's not an Anna Maria, it's a smaller boat they're talking about. And the whole concern is Shabbat. You have to have Menuchat HaNefesh, and you will not if you get on the boat on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So let me ask a question. Why for the Bar Mitzvah is it Mutter? Why for the Bar Rashut is it Asa? And for the Bar Mitzvah it's Mutter? If you have a solution, why not say for the Bar Mitzvah you Sunday, Monday, Tuesday get on the boat? And that way, you'll do both. You'll be on the boat, there will be no tsar, you'll be acclimated, and you'll get to do the mitzvah anyway. Why is it permissible Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Why not be stringent when it's such a simple concept, such a simple matter? And here the answer is, the Magen Avraham says it, Oseik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That when you're involved with a mitzvah, Dvar mitzvah, you're traveling, what can be the Dvar mitzvah? To visit your parents, to visit your Rebbe, to go on Aliyah. Ah, we have a klal. Oseik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. You're involved with a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about onik Shabbat. And that's the basis, that if it's a Dvar mitzvah, you can get on the boat even 2 minutes before Shabbat. You don't have to make these cheshbonot. And this is a basic klal that goes so far that I'm going to ask a simple question that the Chatam Sofer answers in his Chidushim HaMesechet Sukkah in the sugya there, Oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Chaim, you're living in Israel. Ephraim, you're living in Israel. Ephraim, you're working in high tech. Am I correct? I asked you a simple question. How come you put on tefillin this morning? You should go to work right away. Whatever you're doing helps Yishuv Mitzvat Eretz Yisrael. Oseik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. It's an interesting question. Did you ever think of this, Chaim? You're a medical doctor. You don't have time. Why do you waste time putting on tefillin in the morning? Go to the hospital and save more lives. Oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Not only that, here it's mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The more good you do in the hospital, the more the good you do in high tech. Yomo is working with missiles and helping Rafael develop a better missile. And if it's not Yomo, it's my grandson. Okay? But Oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Interesting question. But the answer there is very simple. Hu tziva v'hu tziva. In other words, the same Ribbono shel Olam who told us we have to live in Israel, we have to do good here, we have to accomplish, we have to help people, we have to save lives, we have to do gemilat chesed, the same Ribbono shel Olam told us to put on tefillin. You follow me, Moshe? And that's the concept. You can't ask the question. It's all part of the same configuration of a Torah lifestyle. But the question is interesting. You should know that Rav Avadya has a long essay where he deals with this very seriously, where he answers the question, if your parents are opposed to you making Aliyah, are you allowed to say no to them and to go in Aliyah? And within the context of that shaylah, parental opposition to a young man over 18 years of age making aliyah, he gets involved with the whole question of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. You follow aliyah, knocks out, kibud avayim. But this is a very, very fascinating psak and a very, very fascinating Magen Avraham. Okay. Here, you come to the Ramah at the end of Simon Bet. He says something too, where he's talking about the various reasons why you can't go on a ship. Aval eini sur b'masha b'heimot moshchata sfina b'sfat hayam v'lodomi lahalicha b'karon she'asua. And here he's dealing again with the rabbinic prohibition. Could you imagine this before cars and electricity and motors, combustion and all that we have today, and you're in a wagon and the wagon is being pulled by animals? Are you allowed to ride in the wagon on Shabbos? Absolutely not. Bishema, you want to break off a branch to hit the animals, that's the sugyan of bapes I showed you last week. They should move quicker. But here, when you're in a boat, let's say the boat is being pulled by animals, there's no Issur d'Rabbanan on that level. Why? And the Magen Avraham explains why? Because the animals are too far. They're on the shore pulling the boat. You're too far away from the trees to break off a branch. You follow? So that doesn't apply at all. That would only apply if you're close to the trees, if you're close to the animals. But where the animals are on the shore, that doesn't apply. Okay.
You're talking about an agricultural society.
Yeah, I'm saying
that.
I understand. I understand. We're quoting the Ramah, and all these surim fall away, basically. The surim, the Rabbanan, the animals, the swimming, the question of tchum, because a big boat is certainly above 10 tfachim. So what remains is what the Rambam talks about, what the Rif talks about, what the Shulchan Aruch just spoke about, getting on a boat on Friday. I told you when we traveled to the one of the wonders of the world, off Cairns, what was it called?
The Great Barrier Reef.
When we traveled there, we were so sick. And the whole trip was a place, an hour and a half. And you're supposed to suck it. Well, ginger, I think. We didn't know that. It's off Australia. It's one of the great wonders, the Barrier Reef. And, it's a whole tourist industry. And I can tell you, let me pause for a minute. If you want to know the greatness of Chabad, if you want to know Vasmeinta Yiddish and Neshama, if you want to know what it means, taking away the klipot, we come to this beautiful hotel, goyish land, minzet nishta yiddish upon him, you don't see a Jewish face. Beautiful. It's where the Australian Navy kicked off against Japan. Look at the map, you'll see what I'm saying. And one of the sailors after World War II saw that this can be a big industry, and he remained there, and he built this tremendous hotel, and he got involved, people coming from all over the world, the Great Barrier Reef. And we see his son walking around, Junior. They have the same name, Aaron Rakefit Sr., Aaron Rakefit Jr., and he's not married, and all the Shiksas and the Australian women, nice-looking women. Oh, you can see when he walks by, their tongues are out, daydreaming. Maybe he'll stop to think of marriage one day. And they, how are you, Mr. John Jr.? How are you, Mr. John Jr.? And then we're in a hotel room, and we get a note, a beautiful note. Dear Rabbi and Mrs. Rakefet, it is my great honor to have you as my guest. And I don't want to tell you what he says there. And he says, I would very much like to meet with you and be of help with you. Please call my secretary and make it. And we called the secretary. And it came with a big bowl. I still have it until today. A big wooden bowl of fruit, beautiful fruit, Gulf of Mitzrayim, and we come downstairs, and here is Mr. Big, the owner, with his son is Mr. Junior, and he takes out a picture, and he shows us what he looked like as a kid in the 1930s, a little Hasidische Yingle mit Langer Preis in Poland, and he ran and wound up in Australia to save his life, became a Goy Gamor. Chabad discovered him, outreached to him, and woke him up again to Yiddishkeit and identity. And I can go on with stories that he told me, what he's done, and with Chabad and the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and what they do and how they kasher out part of the kitchen. I couldn't believe my ears. And you should know, he drove us back to the airport, the owner of everything, lo al yedei malach v'lo yedei shliach, hu b'chvodo v'yatzmo. So, alright, that's what it's all about. And Chabad, you got to give credit. I'm a Litvak, but you have to be honest. Okay, now, so this halacha, so when does it apply? When does it apply the most? So you go to the Rama, Reish Mem Chet Halacha Dalid, that he talks about Hayotzim B'Shayara B'Midbar. If you're going, you're traveling, and remember in those days, listen, Lo Aleinu, if you know the news today, it's not much different. What happened in Bethel, and the Eged drivers are threatening to strike now. They don't want to drive in Yehuda Vishomram. They're being shot at every Monday and Thursday, and other drivers being injured, Lo Aleinu. It's unbelievable what's going on now. If Yom Ha'atzmaut comes and you ask yourself, why do I celebrate, some Haredi says to you, why do I celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut? You just tell that Haredi that if this country can survive what goes on politically, security-wise, with everything going on now, if you heard the news at 9 o'clock, your head would fall off. With Netanyahu, with the judges, with the Supreme Court, with the security, and that we survive is Zoni Chastei Hashem. Believe me, you have to say Halal Yom Ha'atzmaut maybe twice, not just once. So here, it's the story is like today. You're going into the Midbar, you're going, so you have to travel to be safe, that you shouldn't be attacked by pirates, by highwaymen. You're going in a group, and everyone has to pitch in and help. And if you go in, and what Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the imach akach yerelo sakani yitzareich lechalel Shabbat b'pnei pkuach nefesh, permissible. And this is not considered chilul Shabbat. Wow. All right. Halacha l'maisa, it means absolutely Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you don't have to make any cheshbonot, and halacha l'maisa, you can wind up being machal Shabbos, and even though you know in advance it's going to happen, it is okay. The Magen Avram, Sifkot and Yudalid, quoting the Radbaz, quoting others, they're very troubled. They're very troubled. Throwing Shabbat away like that? But what if you have no choice? You have to travel. You have to get from one point to another. You have to go through the desert. And you only can do it in a group. And everyone has to pitch in. These are Goyim. These are not Jews. And even if they're Jews, you can't stop in the middle of a desert where pirates are looking to scalp you and take your possessions. So the Magen Avram paskins that really even the Odeya the Vadai Sheyuchalal Shabbat Asur, that really, and this is what I say, a lot of Rishonim, if you really know there'll be Chalal Shabbos, stay put, you can't budge. However, he then quotes other great Rishonim that Shabbat. And what does that mean? The simple pshat? People have to travel, people have to go, people have no choice. You can't be machmir here. So they endanger themselves on Shabbat. What does it mean, endanger themselves? Simple pshat. When the guy comes to you and says, you got to help burn the wood, that the furnace, that the ship should keep moving. You say, I can't do it, it's Shabbat. No, you must do it. I don't care if it's Shabbat. Otherwise the ship will go under. I can't do it because it's Shabbat. The guy pulls out a gun and says, you better do it, then you do it. That's pikuach nefesh, with the gun looking you right in the eye. That would seem to be the pshat in this Magen Avraham. I'll come back to it. But that would seem to be the pshat. If anyone has a better pshat, Moshe, see what you can come up with. But remember, these are the words. Shem mistaknin bi'atzmam shelo lechalel Shabbat. It means people go, people travel, people know they'll be mechalel Shabbos, and they endanger their lives to a certain degree. They refuse. They make a stand. But ultimately, we have to be somech on the poskim that since you boarded the ship on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you are allowed lechalel Shabbat, and it's not a b'diavad, it's a lachatchila already. Okay. One more point in the halacha. What did I say? Going to see a ball game may very well be a devar mitzvah. Look into the Ramah at the very end of Resh Mem Chet. Yesh Omrim, and this becomes very important in the tshuva of the Mishnah Halachot. Yesh Omrim, shekol makom sha'adam holech l'schora, olerot penei chaveiro, chashuv hakol deva mitzvah. That any business, deva mitzvah, you got to make a living. You have a wife and children to support. Deva mitzvah. To see your friends. Camaraderie. We're not individuals. The Rav once gave his Sheyura. Only the Rav could do this. It's unbelievable. I'll never forget. I heard the Shir via tape in Israel, but then Rabbanim came. We spoke about it. There's one part of the Shir where we listened again and we all cried together. Robinson Crusoe. No? Chaim, did you read Robinson Crusoe? You did or you didn't? You didn't assimilate, but Ram Caruso does it all. He's on an island. He builds his house. He milks the cow. He slaughters the sheep. I don't know, whatever. He did everything on his own. Is that good or bad? Is that the Jewish concept? No. Life involves community. Gomlin. We all have a goal. We have 12 different tribes. Nu, have you ever studied the literature on 12 different tribes, their different flags, their different affinities, what they did, what they specialized in? Birchat Yaakov Avinu, Birchat Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone is different. We complement each other. We supplement each other. The Rav said it's forbidden for one tribe to act like the other tribe. God gave you certain proclivities, certain abilities. Stick to what you have. That's ultimately the best for all the Jewish people. Robinson Crusoe, the Rav put down. Well, if that's the case, you're going to see friends. You're going to talk. Pilpul chaverim, dibur chaverim. All right, let's take the Yankee game. Imagine if you let some students in London know you're coming to see the Yankee game, and a whole group gets together to see the Yankee game. Wow, wow. And believe me, Ephraim, I will not open up a Gemara at the Yankee game because I don't want to have happen to me what happened to Rabbi Lef. But you see, it's a Ramah. It's unbelievable. So what is the Varashut? If Yomo is traveling to make a living, he's a photographer, and there's a Bell's gathering in London, in Manchester, and they want him there to take pictures, he can fly on Friday. What is the Vaharashut? They say, Ve'eno chashuv the Vaharashut, rak kishaholeit l'tayel. That it's only when he goes l'tayel, for the sake of being Mikhail, for the sake of going and just getting away from it all and going to the Barrier Reef, that would be a Devar HaRashut. And even there, I'm not certain. No, Dov, you're a good yakety, you know what I mean? I'm not certain. Jack, you know. That, no, Rav Shinsh Rafal, here's the famous story. They met him at the trail. So Rayrel said he was going to Switzerland, and some guy gave him a dig. He said, "Hey, Rabbina, how can you go to Switzerland and be mavatel from Torah and your kehila?" And he said, "Look, I'm over 70. I don't know when the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to call me in, but I don't want them to ask me in heaven that God should say to me, 'Did you see all my maisa yadai lehit pa'er?' The mountains in Switzerland, the Alps. Am I right? The Alps are partially in Switzerland, what, partially Spain? Am I right? France? I can even make a case. It depends what we mean by l'tayel. If I ever go to Tayel, I can assure you it's l'dva mitzvah, it's for shalom bayit, okay? The ain dva mitzvah, you take it to la mitzvah. But that's the Ramah, a job. Yomo, don't put this down. This becomes very interesting when Menashe Klein interprets it. Now, fine. So, this is the halacha. I just want to go one step further and quote to you from the Mishnah Brura and then the Aruch HaShulchan. In my humble opinion here, there is a slight machloikis. Obviously, it's resh mem chet, and the Mishnah Brura, you look down, and there's nothing like the Mishnah Brura on Aruch Chaim, sif katan gimel, sif katan dalid, and he makes clear that in paskim lahalacha, that it's not so much a question of Yisurim the Rabbanon, but even if you're worried about an Issa D'Oraita of an Issa Malacha, but 3 days before you have to be concerned, 3 days earlier you don't have to be concerned. And he explains it, Umasha Chileka Breita Liditru Ben Toshi Amim L'kodem shloshi yamim, hu mishum de shloshi yamim kodem shabbat mikrei kameshabta v'chala lovli hizacher shelo yavol lidei chilul shabbat. And that is a revolutionary concept, that the concept of worrying about malacha and shabbat begins Tuesday night. Before Tuesday night, you're free to be concerned. From Tuesday night on, you can't make Havdalah. The old Shabbat is over, but from Tuesday night on, you have to be concerned. But the three earlier days, Hey Mikrei Bota Shabbat Hava, Adayin Lo Chal Alav Aschad Shabbat Haba'ah, V'shari lahaflig behem, v'yaz afim hu yitzharech ha-chakach lavoli deichelul Shabbat mishum pikuach nefesh, shari. And this is the Mishnah Brura, black and white. No ands, ifs, and buts. This is the halacha, and we divide the week up, and this is what it means, halacha l'ma'aseh. Very, very fascinating. All right. I don't believe the Aruch HaShulchan agrees with the Mishnah Berurah, and I'll give you the source here. And here I'll just make a very interesting comment. How many of you have gone through the Aruch HaShulchan from cover to cover? Mm-hmm. Aruch HaShulchan, no, I'm going through it. It's Shaykh Haman Koshim Mishpat today. But what's fascinating about the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a very, his psak, he's basically like the tour, gives you all the sources, and only at the end. There's Aruch HaShulchan and Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. On all four chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezra. Right, he's on this. The Aruch HaShulchan and Chosh Mishpat, of course. So in Eben Ezra, there's some simanim he doesn't deal with, where he deals with the Ketuvah, because that's all local. It's all that deals with local custom, which no longer exists today. So if you know the Aruch HaShulchan,
in Eben Ezra.
In Eben Ezra. But the Aruch HaShulchan is a post-sake mufak, and he goes through the sugyas, he works it out, and in general, he takes a lenient attitude. What today led to Chovevei Torah was first getting organized, so my classmate, one of the leaders of the movement, he was a guy, I don't want to go into the whole history now, but his thrust wrote about Chovevei Torah. You all know the name, Rabbi Saul Berman. Recognize the name, he teaches at Stern College. He's my age, he's my classmate. So Saul Berman, when they were announcing their goals, this goes back 20 years or more.
Is that Avi Berman's father?
No. It's nothing to do with Avi Weiss. Nothing to do with Ari Berman, nothing to do with Avi Weiss. It's Zelichud or Zelichud. He's a Brooklyn boy whose father was a Slabodka Talmud, who was a Rav in Brooklyn. His twin sister, who died young, Zichron Levracha, Marsha, was married to my chavruta, Ray Weinberg. Ray Weinberg was married to the sister, the twin. She died young, but Ray remarried. He lives in Haifa, but she died years, it must be 25 years already, if not more. So, lo aleinu, but Baruch Hashem, Saul was Zeich Laricha Jem Tovim. So Saul said one of the goals of Chovevei Torah would be to translate the Aruch HaShulchan into English. Because the Aruch HaShulchan at times is mekil. And Rakefitch said in class, it's probably on a recording, that here will grow my palm when you'll succeed to translate the Aruch HaShulchan into English. And all right, it's two decades or more later, and I don't believe the Aruch HaShulchan exists in English. It's very hard to translate. You have to be bucking Shas and Paiskim, and I don't know. No one will understand. It'll make Steins. It'll make what do you call it? The Gemara that's being put out in English. What's it called? Gnu? What's the big deal? The Gemara in English. Art scroll. It'll make art scroll look like child's play. It's much more deeper than art scroll. You have to go through the Rishonim and tie it together. But I have to tell you, everyone thinks Aruch HaShulchan is a big mekel. All right, he's quoted all the time, making a bracha. Rav Moshe quotes him, Kahara Zakein, in relation to you're benching and married women at the table do not have their hair covered. Are you allowed to bench? And Bisman Hazel, we're Mekil, the Litvakin and Mekil, based upon the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein, etc., Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. But I tell you, the Aruch HaShulchan has chumras. For instance, do we wear glasses on Shabbat? No. Look into the Aruch HaShulchan. How do you wear glasses? What kind of levush is this? Right or wrong? All right, could be you can make a case without glasses. Pikuach nefesh. No, so walk the way Rav Chaim walked home on Hanukkah. Remember how Rav Chaim walked home with his eyes closed? Moshe, are you aware of that? Rav Chaim, you know why Rav Chaim walked home with his eyes closed? Because everyone had Hanukkah candles lit, and he held, if you see the Hanukkah candle, you have to make a bracha. It's nothing to do with Hadlokat Tanerim. That has to do with Pisume Nisa. Now, once he makes a bracha, he can't make a bracha in the house when he lights for his family, lights for his wife. So Rav Chaim, so the Rav told Danny Chill on the Long Island, on the New Haven Railroad, coming in from New England to New York. The Rav got on in Boston. Danny Chill's father was Rav in Providence, in Providence, Rhode Island. Look at the map, you'll see what I'm saying. And they had a whole conversation, and the Rav told Danny Chill, Rav Chaim walked home with his eyes closed, with a balabas on one hand and a balabas on the other hand. All right, so the Aruch HaShulchan has some chumras. So I have to tell you, look into the Aruch HaShulchan, Resh Mem Chet. I'll give you 1 second. Sifkatan Yur Aleph. And here the Aruch HaShulchan goes through all the sugya and all the Rishonim and the Psaka the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And the Aruch HaShulchan adds, V'lo sha'ana yodim v'biruah shebehechreich l'chalel Shabbat. The imkain afilu biyon rishon asua, different than the Mishnah Berurah. That all this is talking about, the Aruch HaShulchan says, when you're in doubt. But if you know for sure, you'll have to be mechalel Shabbat. Chas v'chalila, you cannot travel. You cannot go on the ship. The yimkein afilu biyom rishon asur. But what are they talking about? Shekarif hadavar. It's a good chance. Kama holchein midbariyot. Ulechein kol shenichnas pecheta. Imachakach nitara shemukra lechalel Shabbat mishum pikuach nefesh. Ma yachol lasot. He doesn't have a choice. It happened. Avol kisheyadua biruah sheyitzterek lechabal Shabbat asua afilu biyom rishon. And he quotes the Radbaz, and he says at the end, the pshita shekein hu. It's absolutely understandable, 100%. If you know there's going to be Chilul Shabbat, you are absolutely not allowed to get on the boat, even on Sunday. And to me, this seems the Aruch HaShulchan differs with the Mishnah Berurah. This is a real basic machloket. So to reiterate, so far, what have we seen? The Balmar, and as I said, it's not just the Balmar. You'll see other Rishonim and many learn Pshat the way I understand it, that all these basic concepts, worried about seasickness or swimming or cattle pulling the boat, these are all Yisroim the Rabbanon. But not chas v'chalila to do a malacha. But the Balmar understands it, that even if there's a malacha involved, how the Mishnah Berurah explains it so beautifully, 3 days after Shabbat, sing and be merry. You will shema the last Shabbat, don't worry about anything else. Tuesday night on, start thinking about next Shabbat. And I wish Steve Bressler would be here, because when he entertains, he's home. He's out of the hospital, thank God. Steve entertains, so I know from Tuesday night on, he's preparing and thinking about Shabbat. And then, Melacha, Pikuach Nefesh, Mutter. Aruch HaShulchan, very striking. Even on Sunday on, chas v'chalila, to bring yourself into a position where there'll be Chilul Shabbat. The Var Mitzvah, the Var Rishut, very fascinating. What is the Var Rishut? And the Ramah takes it so much further. And Einachinami Chaim, if you're going to go see the Yankees play the Red Sox, find out from Sherry who is in London who went to the Kollel, call him in advance, make an appointment to see him. And according to Rama, you can even get on the airplane on or the boat.
What happens to all the monies they make?
Ask them, don't ask me. I'm not a money man. Baruch Atah Adonai Melech Haolam. Okay, one more source I have to show you, and I show you with great joy. Open up the tour. You all know that the Shulchan Aruch comes about, it's a whole process. You have the Rif, the Rush, the Rambam. Then you have the tour. Tour, of course, the Beis Yosef is the most famous commentary.
The son of the Rush.
The tour is the son of the Rush, but the Beis Yosef is of Yosef Karo, and his Beis Yosef leads to the Shulchan Aruch. I once dealt in great detail for many months, if not years, what happens when the Shulchan Aruch contradicts the Beis Yosef. Same author. Very interesting question. It's not for now, but be aware of it. Now, tell me, what's the tremendous difference between all these poskim and the Rambam and Maimonides? They're celebrating some anniversary of Maimonides now. What's the tremendous difference? All the poskim only deal with halacha hanocheget bisman hasem. Right or wrong? The Rif, the Rush, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam is the only one that deals with Kol HaTorah Kula. Kodshim, Taharot, Hilchit Malachim, Yemot HaMashiach, the whole machlokes, if the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe could have been Mashiach, go through Hilchot Malachim, you'll reach one simple conclusion: absolutely not. Mashiach has to do certain things that they are not. That the seventh Rebbe, we may have been the greatest Jew of the 20th century, may be true, but it doesn't make him Mashiach yet. Didn't conquer the land, didn't conquer the Shivat Amim in Mechiat Amalek, etc., etc.
The Rambam and the Shivat Amim were already conquered.
Excuse me?
The Rambam said Shivat Amim were already conquered.
Baruch Hashem, that they don't exist today. They don't exist today. But there are other things Mashiach has to do. The Rambam spells it out. Has been achieved. All right. Gil Student wrote a whole little volume proving that the Rebbe was not Mashiach. But I just say, look at the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam, obviously. The Rambam is very powerful. Perik Yudbet, Halacha Bet, that's the answer. But the Rambam says, there's big machloket among all the Mefarshim. We won't know how it will happen until it happens. And the Rambam uses very strident language against people who claim they know all the secrets. You all know what the Rambam says. Tipach Rucham. Those that try to figure it out and tell you Mashiach will come this year, Mashiach will come that year, tipach rucham, very strong language.
And he does give a date.
But there are reasons why they claim he did that. He did that to give them chiyut. But even that, it's not accepted. People who look at the Rambam feel a little critical when they see that, but they're malamit zchut because they were losing it due to all their persecution. It's like giving them a little bit hope. That's why Hasidus came along. Okay. Now, with all that being said, here is one tremendous exception. Simon Reish Memtet in the Tur. I'm quoting from the Tur Shulchan Aruch now. Ein tsarin b'milchamat harishut al yarat shel goyim. Elu hem kein mitchilu shlosh shemim kodem ha-shabbat. V'yim mitchilu ein mapsikin. Abo milchamat mitzvah matchilin afilu b'shabbat. Hey, wait a minute. When did Jews go to war? Ephraim, when the Torah was written, how many Jews wore a uniform, carried guns? Well, what's he talking about here? This is the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, Perek Zion. There's a whole Perek dealing with Jews going to war. But that the Torah should paskin lahalacha, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, bringing in a sugya which is hilchata de meshichata. What is happening here? All right, look into the Beit Yosef. He already asked the question. And he says, yes, why did the Torah bring the sin? For ha'idna, shein Yisrael hochin lehilachem v'latzor l'ayarot, lo ha'yatzarech rabbeinu lichtov din zeh. There was no need for the Baal HaTorim, Rabbi Yaakov, to write this halacha. Jews don't go to walk today. Sure they don't go to war today. But this concept is all part of the sugya of why you can't get on a boat 3 days before Shabbat. And since it's part of the sugya and it has halachic implications, so he quoted the Gemara in its entirety. He began with Ein Tzarin, and then he continues with the whole problem of how far you can go on Friday, and the whole question of traveling or walking or going more than 3 miles on Friday, the whole question of getting onto a boat. It's all part of one sugya. But Aaron Rakefet would like to believe that the Torah brought this halacha down because he had Ruach HaKodesh and understood afilu kodem hofat Mashiach Tzidkenu, these concepts will be halacha lemaisa, tzva hagana liYisrael. How do you fight? How do you do? More and more religious Jews are going into the army. More and more religious Jews are becoming officers. The day will come when the Ramatkal, remember what Ben-Gurion said? I look forward to the day that a Yemenite will be the Ramatkal. What he was saying was that the most primitive Jews will one day become fully westernized and be the chief of staff. And in recent times, we've had one chief of staff after another who was not pure Ashkenazi. So Ben-Gurion's vision came true. So Rakefet can dream the day will come when the Ramatkal will learn a Daf Yomi, daven 3 times a day, and he will have these problems. And today we have tens of Sfarim already written. How can a religious Jew, what does he do in the army? This is halacha lemaisa. And here you see that milchemet mitzvah, even on Shabbat, you're allowed to start the war. And what we're fighting now, ein lanu milchemet mitzvah yotre gedola mizu, habola hagecha, hashken v'hargo. This is self-preservation, what we're up against, our enemies. Europe. The same Europe that killed 6 million Jews, where are they today? Billions of dollars poured in to undermine the state of Israel, undermine Torah, undermine Zionism. So take a look. The Torah, the Beit Yosef was troubled. And why did he mention it? And he gives the reason. And I say even more, Ashreinu shezachinu, that it's halacha lemaisa bizman hazeh. Alright? Okay, let me go one step further. Everything I've quoted to you, the Mishnah Halacha quotes in relation to this sugya. And in dealing with the question he's asked, he raises the issue that there's one tremendous difference between all these sources that we quoted and the question of volunteering for the American Army. One tremendous difference. in all these sources we quoted, people had to do what they were doing. I'll use the word that he uses, onus. They were forced to do it. What do I mean by that? Jack, Dove, how did you get here this morning? You drove. Tell me. You drove here, right or wrong? Yomo is a tzaddik. He got a complaint that Monday Shir was not on the website or couldn't be listened to, downloaded. It's beyond me. I mean, I give the shir beyond that. I'm talui b'chazdei shamayim b'dei acherim. Friday morning, I get an email. He's coming in about 8:20-ish. It's exactly what he emailed me. He came in and he asked, can he play with my computer? He's playing with my computer. He's putting up Monday Shir, made a special trip just to put the Shir up. He had a chavrita at 10 o'clock in Shvat Ami. I was able to, Karen Ayesod, I was able to give him a lift a little bit closer than I usually give him. But this is Yomo. I thank him. I hope my Talmidim thank him. So when we pulled out of here, Yomo tells me there was an accident on Kvish Bazak. It's the one right over here. It's not Bezek, it's Bazak. It's named after a religious judge who I know the family. And sure enough, we see police cars, we see two cars, geschmettet, smashed. Unbelievable. And they're getting ready to tow them away, and the police are writing things down, a whole report. Maybe they took measurements. We didn't see any ambulances. We didn't see any people. Evidently, it happened a while before, because when Yomo came, he already saw it was after the accident. All right. Tell me, you drive? People smack up their cars. It's crazy. Some Israelis... It's not only Israel, Lo Aleinu, all over the world. Raketet is very opposed to cars, a lot more than he's opposed to computers. Computers don't kill, all right? They harm you spiritually, they claim. I claim you have to teach choice. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too good. I all my life only wanted to be a good Jew. Okay. Go ask people who know me 70, 80 years ago. You'll see. But driving? No, you're not going to drive. You're going to stay at home. What are you going to do? Can't let. We must get out. We must travel. We have to go to Shayurim. We have to move. We're leaving a bad neighborhood. We're moving to a good neighborhood. We have to go in a Shayara. We have to go in the desert. Yes, there's danger. But that's onus. But here in this entire sukkah, everything is talking about onus. You have to go. You have to fight a war. You're in a country under siege. You have to fight a war. You have to visit your parents. Devar mitzvah. You have to visit your friends. Devar mitzvah. You have to get a job. There are no jobs for computer programmers today. Yerushalayim, where do you work, Ephraim?
Looking for work.
Where?
I was working. But,
now you're...
I was working with the end.
So you that's where you have jobs. No, so you have to go, you have to travel. Ones. What ones? Dove woke up one morning, he's working for the OU, he has Panasa. He suddenly says to his wife, I want to wear a uniform, I want to wear bars, I want to rise in rank. Who's asking you? Who's forcing you? What kind of onus? That's something to think about. Ask Rabbi Rubin what went on. We'll come to it. And why you fellas are sitting here, you don't know the history. It's ancient history already. I realize that. I know the history inside out, but I don't know what's going on today. Some of you know what's going on today in YU. You know nothing about the past. They want to draft rabbis to be chaplains. You can't draft. The American law is you cannot draft a rabbi, a priest, or a minister. He's exempt. But he can volunteer. No, who wants to volunteer? And then there's some guy, suddenly, there was a famous session, I'll mention the name, I love him, I grew up, I write about him in Washington. He was a big influence on me as a kid. Rabbi Dr. Victor Solomon, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, wonderful Jew, Bronx, one of the few Shomer Shabbos families that I knew as a kid. He was my madrich in the Mizrahi Atzeir. He's a role model for me. And he was a rabbi, had a congregation. And there was a meeting at RCA when all this was happening. And the Rabbana, we don't want to go. We don't want to know who's going to go. Reform, conservative, he got up. None of us are going to go. We're giving the whole rabbinate away from the army to Reform and conservative. I'm volunteering. And he had a hard job. I think he was over 30 at the time. The army just got in under the deadline. And he became a chaplain. He became, if I'm not mistaken, a colonel or a lieutenant colonel.
Who's that?
Victor, Rabbi Dr. Victor Solomon. He was in Japan.
Yitzchak was just
a captain. Who asked you to volunteer? Okay? And he uses the word, Pikuach Nefesh is only when you didn't activate it, when you're an ones, where it's forced upon you, force majeure. But here, it's self-inflicted. And how do you compare this to the whole question that the Balmud deals with and all the other Rishonim deal with, if here it's self-inflicted? So you see, there's a very underlying question. Do you have a right to take this sugya and bring in the chaplaincy? And once again, it comes back to the machlokes between the Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan. And he's very open, he says it, although he doesn't quote the Achronim like I quote them and see the machlokes there, he already sees it in Rishonim, that could very well be that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if anyone wants to volunteer for the United States Army, you slap his face and tell him he's a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, repetitious, malevolent, no good, apicorous dog. Period. Could be. How dare you think of getting involved with Chilul Shabbos? Or we take the Shulchan Aruch at face value, the way the Mishnah Brura does. And Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to be concerned with the Shabbat of tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is a different story. And then you get involved. Is there a mitzvah here? Perhaps it's not just reshut. Perhaps what you're doing is Kiddush Hashem. Perhaps what you're doing is enhancing the prestige of Orthodoxy. How do you define that? How do you give it a term, a halachic term? Devar mitzvah? Certainly not devar reshut. It helps all Jews, helps Torah, helps America, helps relationship with the government. You see, if you take that attitude, then it's not just an onus. An onus would apply only on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're a free agent. Shabbat doesn't have to disturb you. It doesn't enter into the equation. If you take the Aruch HaShulchan's approach, there's no shy. Absolutely forbidden. If you take the Mishnah Brura's approach, the Shaila is a very, very important one. Okay, we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. It's a fascinating tshuva, fascinating sugya.
What was my question when I walked here?
You asked last week about Mandel, if his children are okay, and I didn't know what you were asking. Someone listening picked up and explained to me you were confusing Mendel with the Kobe Mendel family.
Yeah.
That these are two different families, Zelichud v'Zelichud. And I explained that it's an interesting what you asked. I didn't pick it up at the time. I would have answered you, but I couldn't answer you because Nachum Lamb picked up your question and he gave the answer. So to reiterate, we worked out the Sugya in Shabbat, we worked out the Rishonim, we worked out the Balmar, we worked out the Shulchan Aruch, and we came all the way down to the Ramah, to the ball game in London, the Yankees versus the Red Sox. Herbie asked, who gets the money? Herbie, the very reason they're doing it is sheer profit. In addition, that's the real reason. But it doesn't look nice for kids like Rakefet to tell you baseball is only money. So they give you a pill pull. They want the English kids, the Anglo world across the ocean to be interested in baseball. Maybe the kids will play baseball and you'll get a fine messer who's a New York Yankee first baseman. You follow? Because in America today, the big, tall Afro-Americans are not in baseball. They're in football, they're in basketball. Somehow baseball doesn't pay that well. Baseball is too demanding, whatever. But this way, it's all Caribbeans in the major leagues. There may even be an Israeli or two. So you're going to get, a kid from England, from Scotland, from Ireland. I don't know, maybe South Africans will be interested, Australians. It'll be part of the kingdom. Ultimately, you benefit with better baseball players. Ephraim, do I believe it? 1% I believe it. The other 99%, let the stupid British cough up $400 for a seat. 438 is the top seat you can pay and enjoy. This is today's shiur. We pick up next time. There's so much more to do. We're going to sail into the Rav. You're never going to be bored. And in general, Shelton Shuvit never bores a Jew. It is life. I quote Rakefet, there's no life without halacha, no halacha without life. Shevet and Shuvit are a reflection of the Jewish people at any moment in time. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, I wouldn't wish tomorrow shiur for all the money that's going to be brought in London when the Yankees play the Red Sox. Tomorrow I pick up exactly where I left off, 1956, the whole question. But I'm not going into great detail. Great detail I'm leaving when I deal with the rabbinical council. But why Rabbi Silver wouldn't sign, why the Rav wouldn't sign. And then we move further. And ultimately, we may or may not reach it tomorrow, the whole question of swimming on Shabbos. And you'll see how that fits into the history of Torah in the United States. And now the freebies to Chaim. With great dignity from Reb Usher Weiss. I learned how to work the machine downstairs. This Herbie give to Yitzchak. This is almost a complete paper. One section I have to deal with my grandson on. That's last Friday's paper.
I heard there was a special thing last week about the survey they did of...
It could be it's in there, I don't know. I don't believe any surveys. They asked 182 people if they said, but they did a survey, correct. But don't believe the surveys, but the va seka tirchat. You've heard of me, the va seka tirchat? The va seka survey, shmervei say, God.
Well, it sounds like you didn't really have a proper...
No, it's very good. Everyone wants it. Wait till the election here. A Toronto court, this is unbelievable, a firm put a phony heksha on its product. They were fined $25,000. This is in Toronto. Toronto Air Flower Company, it's unbelievable. And I see this thing must sell in Montreal as well because there's English and French on it. And it bears an unauthorized Canadian Orthodox rabbin. It's C-O-R, kosher symbol.
It's by law. French has to be by law.
By law, all over Canada. Okay, so that explains the French. This is from Rabbi Lamb's Sefer. They put together Rabbi Lamb's articles years ago, many years ago. Halachat Halichot B'Yahadut, I think it's called. And here's where he writes about his life. He describes his influence. He's Galician. His uncle was the Rabbi Baumel. And he describes the Rav and what he gained from the Rav. Very, very fascinating. This, again, it's contemporary Israel, two pages. This is Rabbi Dov Landau, Dresh Yeshiva Slabatka, and he writes about this deals with the whole machloket between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim over people reporting to the draft board to register. Gentlemen, Moshe, it deals with the whole machloket and Rav Shmuel Orbach, and it defends the Bnei Brak crowd against Rav Shmuel Orbach, and how the Chazonish told them how to deal with the state, and you don't openly rebel, etc., etc. But I just want to quote the first sentence of the letter: "May us kum medinat hakfira v'hashmad." And this is someone defending the Medina and medinat hakfira v'hashmad. Okay, very interesting article. New Year's celebrations from Russia irk some in Israel. It's not a Jewish holiday. This deals with a large amount of Russians living out of Yerushalayim. So they celebrate New Year's, they celebrate Christmas, and it's not a religious holiday for them. It's just part of their mentality, like Lo Aleinu, I remember when young Israelites, they had New Year's Eve dances. You follow? So do we want this in Israel? Don't we want it? What do we do with these Russians? Here's a Russian store, I believe this is in Ashdod, with a little Santa Claus and a little tree. And they say, no, it's part of our Russian culture. Nothing to do with religion. The communists allowed it. In America, this is Lo Aleinu, tit for tat. They just arrested an American in Russia for spying. Of course, America arrested a Russian lady for spying. And this is the reason why Raketa could do what he did in Russia. Did you ever wonder, you don't think the KGB was onto us? How did they? And the answer, I write about this, the answer is very simple but very basic. The State Department kept track of the Americans thrown out of Russia, tourists. The minute you hit 10, they retaliated against Russian tourists in America. Just what happened now. So that protected us to a certain extent. It doesn't mean everyone I sent was not thrown out. I had people thrown out, and they were thrown out on Shabbos. But if you played with the rules, or someone there didn't want to get a medal from the KGB, they let you stay because they needed the money and they needed the goodwill from America. You got to remember that every Russian tourist in America, even if it wasn't a spy, but he was told to bring back a Sears Roebuck catalog. You understand? That itself was a value. So that's fascinating. They arrested. Here's the immigration figures. 2018 immigration figures reveal 5% rise in Aliyah. What's interesting is the American Aliyah remains constant, about 3,500 people a year, or what Rakefet calls Truma Maisrat, from the United States. And here's a fascinating article.
The majority of the Russian-Ukrainian Aliyah are not Jewish.
Not the majority. A third.
17,000 out of the 30,000.
No, now you say?
Yep.
Could be, but the original millions that came, about 400,000, were not halachically Jewish.
Same
with these. All right, we got work cut out for us. Here's a story about Bracha Bidi Deutsch. And only an American can pull this off. This is why the Israeli Haredim are very angry at the American, as they call the American Haredim, with a sneer that they're phonies. A mother of five from Jerusalem, Bracha Deitch, in a modest skirt and headscarf, was first across the finish line at the National Half Maritime Championships. And now she has her sights set in the Olympics. Speedy Beatty, Israel's first female Haredi marathon runner. Number one. Colored pictures. Could you just picture an Israeli Haredi having to look at this? Damn those Americans, they're undermining us. My dear students, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart of honoring me with your presence. I want to mention felicitations to all those listening across the wide expanse of the Jewish community in the greater universe, and until we meet again tomorrow morning at 9.05 a.m., Das Vedanya. Thank you.
Major policy. I'm trying to predict how Moshe Klein is going to take his final decision.
Not a problem.
I can't see which way he's going to end up.
No, it's not a problem. The rubber of Moshe here are very different.
How do you get here? No, but he can't predict.
No, besides that, he's going back and forth.
You're giving me the answer that, what, it's not a problem. That's a so